Big data, crunching huge amounts of information to make decisions, seems to be taking over the world. Wall Street analysts are using it to make investments, pollsters use it to predict elections, and now weekend warriors are turning to it to become better athletes. So-called fitness quants, short for quantitative analysis, are tracking their runs, their bike rides, their sleep patterns, their calorie intake, and a slew of gadgets has come on the market to help them monitor their workouts. Matt Dixon is founder of Purple Patch Fitness, where he trains professional and amateur athletes. He joins us from KQED in San Francisco. Matt, welcome.
Thanks so much, Sasha. Nice to be here.
Matt, one of the most famous fitness quants is your client, Sami Inkinen. He's the founder of the real estate website Trulia, and he is obsessive about keeping track of data points in his life. I think he has a 27-column spreadsheet. What is he keeping track of?
It's, I've been working with Sami for many years now, and when I first met Sami, he came to me and he said, I want to be a better triathlete. Here's my data. And he gave me a pile of spreadsheets that basically tracked everything from number of hours, quality of sleep that he was getting, number of calories he was taking in, and every minute of every exercise session or training session that he'd done over the last 4 or 5 years. And so pretty much what you can say is you name it and Sami is tracking it.
So when Sami gets up in the morning, what data is he gathering and checking?
He utilizes a tool called RestWise. You gather things like the shade of your urine when you first wake up, your body weight, your resting heart rate, your oxygen saturation. So all of these sort of objective parameters, as well as some really subjective data. How do you feel? How did you sleep? What's your mood like? How your performance was in your last workout?
And what is he learning by monitoring all those things?
We're looking for trends of how his body reacts to different stimulus, different types of training, different amounts of sleep and things like that. And overall, we're looking to also, because of his very, very busy life, he obviously has a big bucket of life stress, and we're trying to ensure that we can maximize the efficiency of his training and yet still yield elite performance as it applies to amateur triathlon.
You mentioned that he does Ironmans, and he had done one in Hawaii in 2011 in under 9 hours, which meant he beat many professionals. But on average, he only trains 12 hours a week, whereas many other amateurs might have to train twice as much as that or more. How exactly is he able to train so little but perform so well?
I think the first thing that we have to tip our hat to or acknowledge is that he has pretty good DNA. He's a very, very strong athlete. But I think that the key message is if I had Sami train 20 hours a week, he would not perform as well. Because in the stress of life that he has with his massive demands on in Trulia, everything else that he has with his family and all of the traveling that he has to do, our job is to integrate training into that bucket of life, because ultimately training is a stress as well, and you have to acknowledge that. So it's really about efficiency more than anything.
And this seems like the key to your approach, the idea that recovery and rest are as important as the days when you push yourself to the limit, and also that it's recovery not just from a big day of being physically active, but maybe from a very exhausting day at work.
Well, that's exactly it. And I think that, in a sport like this that attracts highly motivated, very successful people that feel like they need to do a lot of training, there is a common problem, especially amongst actually the amateur athletes, that they try and accumulate all of this training, but the stress of that training when combined with life stress, whether it's family, social, work deadlines, travel, it becomes too much and they end up not adapting in a positive sense. And so my teaching is, yes, you have to train hard, but you have to balance that training with adequate recovery and rest, as well as support that training, of course, with good quality nutrition, hydration, and fueling so that your body can actually respond and positively adapt to the training stimulus that you're trying to get to.
We mentioned that Sami had done really well in an Ironman in Hawaii, and then he did another one the next year, assuming that he would do even better. But he really crashed during that one. Why did that happen, and what did he learn from that?
Well, it's a great story, actually, because the lesson of the what happened to Sami is fantastic to gather data, but if you ignore the data, and then it becomes useless. And I don't think that Sami will mind me saying that. He had a very ambitious racing schedule and training schedule, and in the weeks leading up to the big event, the Hawaii Ironman, which is in October, we had lots of data and lots of information that he was maybe getting a little bit tired and even a little bit sick. And because we were really pushing through and trying to break through to the next level, we kept the stress on and we kept adding training despite the fact that we had this data. We basically took a risk and it backfired. And so it was a really interesting thing, because without the data, it would have been harder to put our thumb onto it. But the real reason is that we had all this data and all of this information telling us Sami's tired, he's fatigued, he needs rest. And we tried to push through. We tried to get greedy, and lo and behold, he had a rough day. So you can, you know, you could blame the coach, but I'm going to blame the athlete.
Well, I was going to say, it sounds like the coach learned something there too. Unless you just thought he was truly superhuman, and you could ignore all those data points.
As a coach, you always learn from them, and you always learn as much or more from your mistakes than you do from actually when it goes really, really well.
Matt, we mentioned that Sami Inikin founded the real estate website Trulia. So this is a guy that's fairly well off, and he can afford a coach like you to help him. He can also afford a lot of expensive gadgets. Do you view this kind of training as for only people that have those kind of resources, or could it capture a wider audience?
No, I think it can absolutely capture a wider audience. You know, there are gadgets that are very, very expensive, such as power meters on bicycles that give you an objective measurement of work done or power produced. But GPS watches and heart rate monitors are very, very cheap, and many of the applications are relatively inexpensive. I would also add that, you know, just by having a heart rate monitor or a GPS watch or even using the pace clock at a swimming pool, which is free, that provides information. And ultimately, the information is important for any athlete, whether they're recreational or someone like Sami. It helps them get more in tune with their body and get an understanding of how their body responds to the training that they're doing. And so it doesn't actually have to be that expensive. You just have to obviously choose wisely and realize that not everything is in your reach if you don't have those financial means.
What are some of the more affordable gadgets that you see some of your more mainstream clients using?
Well, I really encourage many of my busy athletes to hop onto the RestWise tool, because that gives a great daily check-in if they're really goal-oriented athletes. And so, you know, RestWise is something like $25 a month or something like that. GPS watch you can get for $100 or $200. As I mentioned, pace clock at the swimming pool, very, very cheap.
In Sami's case, as we've said, he's basically an extreme athlete. This is a guy who does Ironmans, he does triathlons. Do you think this kind of training has benefit even for people who just run a few miles every day, who do a 20-mile bike ride on weekends? Is there any benefit at that more common man exercise level?
I think there is, actually, and it depends on the lens that those people are looking through so far as their training. They might want to improve their body composition, they might want to improve their overall fitness, they might want to beat their buddies up the hill. And what data and metrics provide is tracking of results and progress. And in everything in life, if you're just training in an abyss, or you're just exercising in the abyss, you don't have the opportunity to actually see progression. And so there's nothing better than actually having this data and this tool to actually say, am I improving? Am I getting better? So not everybody has to be as obsessive or as structured as many of the Ironman athletes.
Matt Dixon is the founder of Purple Patch Fitness. He trains professional and amateur athletes. He spoke to us from KQED in San Francisco. Matt, thank you.
Thanks so much. Great to be here.
Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI. Our producers include Lynn Menegon, Hitesh Hati, Kevin Sullivan, Emiko Tamagawa, Catherine Gorman, Alex Ashlock, and Rachel Rohr. Our intern is Kainat Khan. Our technical director is Doug Shugarts. Chris Baumann is the managing editor, and the senior producer of Here and Now is Kathleen McKenna. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. Please join us again here and now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software. Find over 200 job openings at mathworks.com.
PRI, Public Radio International.